This evening's reading can be found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and it's on page 1174 of the Church Bibles. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom my family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, good evening. Do you turn back to that passage, Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll be looking together at that in a few moments. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. We're in a month of prayer. We're trying to think together to hear from God's word about prayer, the hope being that we become more prayerful by the end of this month. And tonight and next week in the evening, we're going to be thinking of things we can pray. This week, particularly, things we can pray for other Christians, for other believers. What do you pray for other Christians? I guess for many of you, you've been in a small group situation, perhaps a growth group, and you get to the time of prayer at the end, and you pray. You pray for Fred to get better, for Jim's exam to go well, for Lena to cope with her workload, for wisdom for Mary as she looks for somewhere else to live. Now, those are fine prayers, but they aren't that deep, are they? Someone's presenting need, and it's what they've just asked for in the group time, but is there more we could pray? Well, we're going to listen tonight to the Apostle Paul as he shares with us what he prays, not in a small group time, but what he prays particularly for people in a church that he loves, people that he knows, the church in Ephesus. And we're going to listen to him and see two things that we could pray for each other. We should pray for each other that will take us a bit deeper in our prayers for each other. Notice how our passage starts, verse 14. Paul starts with the words, "for this reason." And that should always make us think, for what reason? We've just jumped in, middle of chapter 3. What reason sets up what he's about to say about what he prays? Well, you might just go back to the verse before. Often that's sensible if you're trying to see what the context is of some verses you're looking at. What's come just before? But the problem with verse 14 for this reason is that it's carrying on from verse 1. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Same words. For this reason. Paul, it seems like he often does, has sort of gone on a bit of a tangent. He's started for this reason and then he's sort of wandered. Some of you do that. So you're going to say something and then something else comes in. And then you remember what you're going to say. Well, Paul in a way is speaking in that kind of way. So we need to go back to chapter 2 to see what it is that's giving him a reason to pray. And if you were here this morning, you'll recognize the end of chapter 2. Paul, through the beginning of Ephesians, has talked about the gospel. He's talked about how it is we come to be saved. He's talked about how it is that both Jews and Gentiles can be saved by the living God. And towards the end of chapter 2, he's talking about how those two groups of people can become one and get built together. Remember from this morning, verse 21, "In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." For this reason, Because you are God's temple. Because you are God's house of prayer. For this reason, says Paul, I get down on my knees and pray. What does he pray? Well, I think what he prays is both surprising and reassuring. He prays that we would have power to do two things which we might assume of other Christians, but which we know are a struggle for ourselves. Two things. The first is this. He prays that we would have, or that the church in Ephesus, but I'm taking that for us, that we would have God's help to keep trusting Christ. That's a surprise, isn't it? Do you not assume that of other Christians? And yet, knowing your own heart, you know this is what you need. That you would keep trusting Christ. Look at what he says. Verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Let's pick over this. It's a lovely opening, isn't it? Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches. God has got rich resources. He's got cupboards that are stocked full. Warehouses. He has everything. Out of his rich resources, he might give to you what? Power. He may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, we could easily go off track in terms of what this is saying, but look closely at those words. Strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you would keep trusting Christ. That's the quick way of saying that. Do you see that? That you would keep trusting Christ. Why do we need this power, first of all? Well, I think we need this power because this doesn't come naturally. We don't trust Christ naturally. We trust ourselves. We trust other things. We put our hearts elsewhere. And so we need God by his Spirit to bring this strength into our very hearts. When the Bible speaks of our hearts, it's your control center, the inner you. It's not just your emotions. That's the way we talk about hearts today. But heart in the Bible is heart and mind. Your inner being is the phrase here. That's helpful, isn't it? The inner you. That Christ may live there. Now, get your minds around this a little bit. Paul is saying it's possible for Christ to live in you, in your inner being, in your heart. Just to help us, imagine if Christ lived in your house. What would that be like? Scary? Christ, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, if he lived in your house, what would happen? How would you treat one another? What would meal times be like? What would you talk about? What would you watch on the television? What would you turn to on the internet? He's in your house. He could peer around the door at any moment. He hears what you're saying. He's there. And he's Lord. That's in your house. And Paul is saying, even closer than in your house, he can live in your heart. There. By faith. In other words, as we trust him, he lives there. As we trust him. Trust him, not ourselves. Trust him, not something else or someone else. Trust him. And if he lives there, well, what will we talk about? What will we watch on telly? What will we look at on the internet? How will we react to each other? What will our meal times be like? If we're trusting him and he is there. See what a difference that makes? I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This doesn't come naturally. Has Christ ruled your heart this past week all the time? Every interaction? Have you pleased him with every decision you've made, every choice? So this is a great prayer to pray for each other, isn't it? There in that growth group situation, what could you pray for one another? That Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. That they would trust Christ this week. That he would shape their decisions, their reactions, their interactions. And that God's Spirit would keep strengthening their hearts to keep trusting Christ, whatever the situation is, whatever's coming at them, whatever the hardship, whatever the trial, whatever the stress, that they would keep trusting Christ, that he would dwell in their hearts by faith, that he would shape what they were like. Surprise and a reassurance. Pray that we would have God's help to keep trusting Christ. Secondly, pray that we would have God's help to know how much Christ loves us. Surprise and a reassurance. Paul goes on, halfway through verse 17, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So again, let's pick over this. Halfway through verse 17, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." That's plant language, isn't it? Rooted, established. Think of a young plant. How do you get it going? You put it in good soil so that it's well rooted. You water it so that it becomes established. What's it rooted and watered in? Love. God's love. How did you start off as a Christian? By knowing of God's love. It's the beginning. And having this as your beginning, here's the prayer that you may have power. See that word again? This won't come naturally. You need a strength from outside yourself, a power. That together with all God's holy people, that's Paul's way of saying all Christians. Not that you're holy through your own actions, you're holy through Jesus' actions. But you may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp, to get this in your head, to understand this, to hold on to this, to grasp. And at this moment, we could break out into song, couldn't we? Jesus' love is very wonderful. I've been banned from singing solos by my children, so I won't do it now. So high, you can't get over it. So wide, you can't get round it. So low, you can't get under it. There, that we would just grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And this understanding doesn't come naturally. We need God's power to help us grasp the size and scope of Christ's love for us, because we're prone to shrink it. When you make a bad decision, do you know that Christ still loves you? When you let him down, do you know that Christ still loves you? When your circumstances are tough, do you know that Christ still loves you? Do you know that? Do you get deviated off that? Do you start to shrink Christ's love and think, well, yeah, I've heard that, but I don't believe it. I need to make it up. I need to put things right so that he might love me again. No, Christ's love is huge. It's bigger than we imagine. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 8? Famous verses. End of Romans chapter 8. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. So here's something we can pray for each other, that we would get how much Christ loves us. Something you could pray in your growth group, that so-and-so who's facing this or this or this, that they would just know this week that Christ loves them. Because that's better than a cure. That's better than a new job. That's better than a safe journey. It's better than a better day at work. To know Christ loves you. Just look at what Paul says as he goes on. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That's a funny line, isn't it? To know something that you can't know. You'll never get your head around this fully. This is big. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What does that mean? That you might become mature as a Christian. You might become more Christ-like. All the fullness of God in you. You see, a mature Christian knows that whatever the circumstances, whatever they've just done, Christ's love remains the same. It is big. A mature Christian has their security in Christ's love, not in their performance, not in their circumstances, but in Christ's love. Two things we can pray for each other. They're surprising, aren't they? Think of all the things Paul might tell us we can pray for each other. What's he say? Pray that you would have God's help to keep trusting Christ. Basic, but necessary. Pray that we would have God's help to know how much Christ loves us. Basic, but necessary. And look at what comes next, because this is the context of these famous verses that come next. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Famous verses. Often quoted, forgetting what comes just before. And Paul has just said these very simple things. I pray, I get on my knees to God and pray that you would keep trusting Christ, that he would help you to do that. I get on my knees and I pray that God would help you to know how much Christ loves you. And God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. In your circumstances now, that you would know Christ's love for you. Jesus' love for you, how big it is. in your circumstances now that you would be able to keep trusting in Christ when everything around you is screaming at you not to, to trust something else, to walk away from him, to give up on him. And Paul says God is able to answer these prayers. He has the power to do this in your circumstances, in your situation at the moment. It's brilliant, isn't it? You don't look convinced. It's brilliant, isn't it? They would do this. This is what really matters. And notice the corporate nature of this. This sort of links with this morning. Remember, we were trying to think this morning that, or I was trying to convince you that we ought to pray together. There's a togetherness. And there's a togetherness here. It comes up in a couple of places. Now to him, verse 20, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church. Corporate. And if we're all praying this for each other, then we'll become more and more the church that we ought to be, and God will get the glory. If we keep trusting Christ, and if we keep knowing how much Christ loves us, we'll become more and more the church we ought to be, and God will get the glory. And notice it crops up earlier as well. Verse 18, together with all the Lord's holy people. Yeah, we want to pray for the individual in their circumstances, their situation, but it's not leaving everybody else out of the picture, that we'd all get this, that we'd all understand this, that we'd all have God's help in this, and God can do it. And as he does, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Throughout all generations. What do you pray for your children if you've got children? What do you pray for your parents if you've got parents? It's two good things to pray. That if they are already, they would keep trusting Christ. What do you pray for the children as they go out to Sunday club on a Sunday morning? Or they go out to youth work? That they would know how much Christ loves them. That would be a great thing to pray for them, wouldn't it? As they go out this morning, they hear God's word, would they come away knowing how big Christ's love for them is? If they sing in starters, Jesus' love is very wonderful. And that song sticks in their mind, and they grow up knowing that song. But more than that, knowing the truth of that song. That they would say one day, oh, wonderful love that I don't deserve, that is real. That God would send his son for me, that Jesus was willing to die for me, go to the cross for me, take my punishment, that I might know forgiveness, God's grace, eternity. For your aging parent, who's coming towards the end of their days, and they've been trusting Christ, what a great prayer to pray for them, that they would know God's strength now, in all their infirmities, in all their fears. That they would keep trusting Christ. They would know God's strength to do that. That's a great prayer to pray, isn't it? Simple, yet brilliant. What will you pray in your growth groups this week for one another? You slip this in, not to sound holy. Not to sort of nudge, I was listening on Sunday. But because it's a brilliant thing to pray. And if you're anything like me, you need people to pray this for you. If someone else prayed this for you, you would keep trusting Christ this week. That you would know this week how big Christ's love for you is. Brilliant. Yet simple. Let's have a moment of quiet. Use the quiet now to think of someone else and pray this for them. Pick one of those things and pray this for them now in the quiet before we sing our closing hymn together.